On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Well, hello there. Thanks for tuning in. I'm George Adair doing the show live every Wednesday at noon 03. Hoping to have a great show today. I'm sure we will. We have David Guen. He is the Assistant City Manager Director with the City of Santa Rosa. We're going to talk about all kinds of fun things with him. And of course, if you ever have any questions about financing your home loan, you can give the folks at Bay Equity Home Loans a call at 707-583-8100, 583-8100, or go check out my website. It's georgeadair.com.
Yeah.
We're promoting that one now.
That's good. I like it.
I think we should.
Easy for people to remember, too.
It's easy, yeah. GeorgeADAIR.com. Check us out. You can also get us on the Facebook page where we have information about our guests, including today's guest, Mr. David Guen, Assistant City Manager with City of Santa Rosa. And then go check out some of those podcasts, KSRO.com. Sometimes it's hard to catch the show right in the middle of the day. You're going zooming this way and zooming that way. What's up, Michelle?
I'm so tired.
I know. I heard you this morning.
I'm halfway through my coverage for PAX.
Yeah, when does she come back?
She comes back on Tuesday next week.
Yes.
She's taking a well-deserved break.
Yes.
She and her wife are in Hawaii, and I've seen some of the pictures she's been posting, and she's having a great time, so that's good.
Awesome. She deserves that.
Yep,
that's great. That's great. Well, I'm also tired.
Yeah?
Because we have a puppy.
I saw that. It's adorable. What kind of puppy did you get?
We have a Rhodesian Ridgeback. Really cute. 9 weeks old today, or a few days ago. We got her a week ago. Actually, I ran from the show last Wednesday out to get her. And it's been like having another kid.
That's so
exciting. And two boys. And so she barks now.
Uh-huh.
She's found the bark.
Mm. Hmm. This is a good thing, bad thing?
It depends what she wants, what she's barking about.
Right.
She certainly doesn't communicate her needs to go potty very well.
Oh, okay.
No,
so you're dealing with that.
So, yeah, it's kind of a guessing game constantly throughout the day and throughout the night. So, I'm a little sleepy, but if you follow us on Facebook, we do have lots of plethora of pictures.
Nice.
So if you follow myself or my wife on Facebook, you can find them there.
That's great.
She's cute, so we'll keep you all posted on her.
What's the
happenings.
Name of your dog?
Her name is Mila.
Mila. Oh, that's so adorable. I love it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. If Austin, my oldest son, he's 12 now, if he was a young girl born, I don't know. Am I supposed to genders type anymore?
I don't know.
Anyways, he was a girl. He was going to be named Mila.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So,
great name.
Great name. And she's cute. So, we have Mr. David Guen. David, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Do you have a dog?
I have two, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Are they puppies?
They're about 8 years old now.
Yeah. So it's been a while since you had to get up and let them out in the cold.
Yes, yeah. They're pretty well trained at this point.
I think if I was to get a dog again, I would get one in the summertime.
That's smart, yeah.
Because then when you let them out, it's not so cold.
Right. That's awesome.
Especially if it has short hair, because it doesn't want to go out either. Anyways, we like to have a little fun on the show. David, I haven't had you on before. I really am glad that you're joining us today because I want to actually get into some topics with you that you listeners probably haven't heard too much about. We have heard, of course, ongoing updates from KSRO specifically. Pat Garrigan does a great job of keeping us posted, and so do you, Michelle, of course, with what's happening in fire recovery efforts. What's sort of the high-level hot topic of fire recovery in your ballpark, your sort of sphere of influence that you're dealing with? Because you are heading the rebuild efforts in Santa Rosa from the Tubbs Fire.
Right, yeah. In the city of Santa Rosa, we had about 3,000 homes that were lost.
Yeah.
And as of this morning, we just looked at the numbers. We're about halfway of rebuild. So we have about 1,400 in the rebuild process.
Wow.
81 are complete, so people are moved back home.
Mm-hmm.
There's another almost 700 under construction today, so which is a massive construction effort
out there
in Coffee Park and Fountain Grove. And a bunch more that have been approved and ready for construction. So we're going to see a lot of activity over the next, probably over the spring, and then a bunch more permits come in as the weather starts to be more cooperative. So
now, in the world of real estate development, we have what we call off-site improvements and on-site improvements. And typically, you go buy a piece of property and you have your on-site improvements. They've brought your utilities to the curb, so to speak. You plug in, house goes up, and you can essentially turn on utilities and have access. The fires came, took down all the houses in those areas, of course, aggressively, abruptly, and in mass, affecting neighborhoods. What did it do to the offsite to get to the on, to the parcels? What did it do to the infrastructure in the streets and as it relates to water and power and gas lines?
Yeah, it's a good question. So it did affect the gas lines, it affected Comcast, affected the utilities, PG&E. It also affected the water system, mm-hmm. A little bit of the sewer system on site. Mm-hmm. So what happened was over the first few months, a lot of the big companies, PG&E, Comcast, AT&T, came in and did a joint trench. So the concept was to build one trench down the street to put all the utilities in, coordinate that effort, make sure that they're all underground. Mm-hmm. So when people did come to rebuild, they can connect into that system. So,
did they expand those systems, make them more efficient as
they
well?
They did, yeah, yeah. I think they brought a lot of fiber into the area. Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch
for the
more.
Telecom and data.
Right, uh-huh. Right. So that's all been upgraded. And the same is going to happen in Fountain Grove. Coffee Park was done first, and then they moved to Fountain Grove. But yeah, it's a massive, massive coordination effort, as you can imagine. I mean,
sure.
Typically when you do, like you said, a typical project, a developer will come in and buy a big, a couple acre parcel mm-hmm. and close it all off and build to their heart's desire.
Yeah.
Well, here we have about 53 different contractors out there. And so to coordinate movement of materials and timing of concrete deliveries and everything that goes along with that, it's a massive coordination effort. And so we do meet with contractors on a monthly basis. We meet with people that their homes are still standing and are affected by the sound and dust and activity. We meet mm-hmm. with them on a fairly regular basis. It's a communication effort all around.
So access is typically paid for by the developer when they go to tie in to mm-hmm. offsites, right. Parcels that are existing now and were previously tied in, but had to get tied in again to the expanded systems. Who pays for the cost of the offsite improvements and the tie-in costs?
Yeah, so anything in
or
the
hookup costs.
Sure, anything public right away, the city or the utilities take care of.
And did that come out of some special fund, emergency fund, or how did we cover that? Because I'm sure it wasn't cheap.
No, it wasn't cheap. Basically, what we're doing on things like sidewalks and road impacts is we're going back to FEMA and asking for FEMA reimbursement. So that's a long process. It's something that we're working with FEMA with over the next few years probably to get that taken care of.
Okay. And we have a federal budget that, of course, is right. Hopefully going to get passed. If not, people will be right. frustrated and pick with their pitchforks in the street.
That's true.
So I heard Congressman Mike Thompson this morning with you talking that there is going to be provisions in the budget, right, Michelle?
For California for recovery mm-hmm. efforts, yes.
And I'm sure some of that money would then be earmarked right. to cover those
right.
needs.
Right, right. And then you touched on another piece too, the impact fee. So those are the fees to connect to the system. So the way to think about that is that once you build a house, you pay those fees to connect to the system. That's essentially your ticket onto the bus. If your house is destroyed like it was, you can put your house back and not have to repay that fee. You've already paid to connect. So those fees are not being paid. Which reduces the overall cost to build your home. So typically what we're seeing right now is about $2,000 to $3,000 a home to get through the permit process.
Okay. And wow, so that's actually not that bad.
Not bad, yeah. So we wanted to keep that low, uh-huh. Make it efficient. We're doing first plan checks probably in about 5 days. So we've come up with a whole new system, a separate we created a whole new building department just for the rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a learning experience for all of us. But
yeah.
It seems like it's moving pretty well.
So let's talk about learning experience. Learning curve is hopefully starting to flatten out. Mm-hmm. You're getting yourself, it sounds like, about 5% of the way through so far or 70 homes, 80 homes.
Complete, but we have about 1,400 in the process.
In the process. So about 50% of what is covered in the city of Santa Rosa
right.
is covered. Mm-hmm. So there's still a long way to go.
Long way. Yeah.
And do we have sort of an anticipation of when we're going to get through the rest of that? Is it next 2 to 3, 5 years? What are the projections?
No, that's an excellent question. One of the things that we're looking at now is what is going on with the remaining 1,500. There's a lot of issues out there. There's still people that are still fighting with insurance. There's issues with people that have decided they don't want to go through the process of rebuilding and have left or selling their property. There might be people that are stuck for other reasons. So over the next few months, that's going to be our big effort, is to reach out, figure out what's going on with the individuals that are still out there that haven't decided to move forward, and see if there's anything we can do or if there's anything we can do to advocate on their behalf to help them move forward. But it is a big question. It's a big unknown.
In my basic preliminary research, when the fires first hit, I recall seeing that Oakland Hill fires, which was, you know, obviously a couple decades ago, but in a similar geography and demographics as far as Fountain Grove goes, only 25% of those people actually stayed and rebuilt. Do we have statistics yet on what we think those numbers are going to look like within Coffee Park and all the way up into Fountain Grove?
We don't have those numbers, unfortunately. I think it would be a good number to get. we hear stories. Some numbers that we do have is that we know in Coffee Park, about 40-45% of the homes in there were rentals. And so, you know, some of those people have moved on, found other rentals.
Sure. The houses, flipped out of it.
Right.
Took the insurance.
Yeah, or the houses will be rebuilt and potentially a new person will go into that and rent that unit. So there's a lot of movement around and people are buying different properties, selling their property, buying another one. So it's interesting to see who's left, who stayed, who moved. The other bellwether is schools. So there's a declining enrollment in terms of who's leaving the schools and what impact did this have to the schools. And that gives a sense of how many people have left the area.
I'm joined by David Guen. He's the assistant city manager of city manager for Santa Rosa, and he is heading up rebuild efforts from the Tubbs Fire, 3,000 homes. Question about those that decide to invest in purchasing a burned down lot, vacant lot. Do their build fees and permit fees, are they any different than someone who experienced and went through the fires that wants to rebuild?
No, our intent was to get the homes that were lost rebuilt. So if somebody was to buy one, they would go through the same process on that parcel.
Gotcha.
That's the intent. So again, if like normal, if you go buy a home, the impact fees have already been paid for. You don't have to pay those again.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is if you decide to buy a lot and maybe double or triple the size of the unit that was on there, there will be impacts. There'll be additional property taxes that you'll have to pay on that as you increase your square footage.
Sure.
And then potential impact fees to the schools and others that go along with that.
Okay, good. When we come back, I'd love to talk to you about two important topics. One is the water situation in Fountain Grove, mm-hmm. and hopefully you have some info for our listeners on that. And second, increasing density throughout the downtown area and beyond. Redevelopment, of course, is on a lot of people's mind. Love to talk with you more about increasing density. So, folks, we're here with David Guen. He is the assistant city manager for the city of Santa Rosa, and we'll be right back in just a few minutes. You're on air with George Adair.
On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Hey folks, this is George Adair from Bay Equity Home Loans. We're your local lender, but I want you to know we have cutting-edge technology available to you. I'm really excited to announce our Bay Equity Express closing. You don't have to go search the internet to find your home loan lender. We're right here in Santa Rosa, Petaluma, and Windsor. Bay Equity Home Loans offers many loan programs with amazing technology. At closing, you can digitally sign your loan documents. It saves time, saves frustration, and we get to the closing process so much faster. If you're buying in Sonoma County, the speed to close is one of the most important factors in getting your offer accepted. The reputation of Bay Equity locally is amongst the best. Visit us at bayequityloans.com or call 707-583-8100. Again, 707-583-8100. Bay Equity is your home for loans.
Equal housing lender subject to credit approval. NMLS ID 76988. The transaction will be made pursuant to the Department of Business Oversight California Finance Lender Law and or California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. NMLS ID 245370.
Email phishing attacks cost businesses billions annually in real cash, data loss, and brand damage. Phishing emails are hard to detect because the messages appear to be legitimate to unsuspecting employees. Introducing Barracuda Fish Line, a groundbreaking cloud-based solution designed to help employees recognize sophisticated email phishing attacks through interactive training reinforced by continuous simulation. Transform your employees from a liability into a line of defense. Go to barracuda.com/PL to learn more.
This holiday season, see what makes Corix such a time-honored favorite in Santa Rosa.
Hi, this is Matthew at Corix, where we think holiday gift shopping should be fun and easy. So once again, we've turned our store into a holiday wonderland with gifts for everyone on your list. From Italian fine pens to jewelry and jewelry chests to toys, books, and games for the little ones. And don't forget, Corix offers garage parking validation.
Corix Stationery, Gallery, and Gifts, 637 4th Street, downtown Santa Rosa.
On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Hey, thanks for joining us again. I'm George Adair with, of course, the show happening every Wednesday. You can always go listen to the show on KSRO.com and listen to old prior shows. This is one you'll probably want to pass around because we're talking, I think I'm asking questions that a lot of people aren't really thinking about just because of the nature of this show. We do focus on real estate and finance and development. And I've got David Guen. He is the assistant city manager director for the city of Santa Rosa. And he, of course, his big job these days is heading the rebuild effort of 3,000 lost homes or 3,000 parcels with lost homes in the city. There's other things that are happening that we'd also love to talk about. Before I do segue over to that, I do want to kind of put a bookend on the recovery effort and rebuild effort, I should say. I'm sorry, rebuild effort of homes in Fountain Grove. What's happening with the water issues, and what's the latest on that there?
Yeah, the water issues have been resolved, so it's great news. There was a lot of uncertainty early on, but the city went through a process of doing a bunch of testing and then went back and actually replaced all the service lines. That's the line from the main to the house. They found that the contamination really stemmed from those locations. And so they replaced about, I'm going to guess, around 200 services up there.
Okay.
And went back, tested, flushed, and came back with non-detect, and it's been clean, and they're continuing to test, and they've actually sent out notices to everybody up there that they're ready, they're okay to build and can move back. And
wow.
So it was a good news story. A lot of work on the water department's effort, but it was a great approach to take that systematic view of testing, replacing, testing to identify what the problem really was.
We talked about loss of underground infrastructure and hooking up for parcels. What about above ground infrastructure, wells and water treatment facilities, any sort of above ground utilities the city controls, or even the firehouse that was destroyed? Tell me about what's going on with those.
Yeah, you're right. Is that the firehouse was destroyed up there in Fountain Grove?
Right.
We did have some impacts to some sewer pump stations. Water tanks. So those are being addressed with FEMA right now. So anything that's publicly owned, those are considered in a different category than homeowners. Mm. And so we're working directly with FEMA to determine how much of that can we get reimbursed for and bring that money back. And so there will be a cost-sharing component to that. Mm-hmm. So the city will be responsible for some percentage of that. Mm-hmm. But about 75% is covered by FEMA, and then another 75% of that 25% remaining is covered by the state. So there's still a little piece that the city will need to address. And so that's something we're working with our internal budget. Our reserves have been depleted fairly substantially.
Yeah.
And we're looking at making additional cuts and reductions in the city to try to help get us through this period.
Great. Well, thank you. And you know, fire rebuild efforts are sort of there's no doubt about it that we have to go through it, but it's a distraction to the overall general plan and progression of the city as well. It's contributed to some additional needs put on the city, which in my view is higher density. I think it's been uniquely challenging in the city of Santa Rosa for a long time to increase housing on existing land and get more people in. I'm helping a client identify her next steps. She's in Southwest Santa Rosa, and she's noticed that over the last 2 years, more and more cars have showed up in her neighborhood than used to. And I said, well, you think it's the teenagers, kids kind of growing up? She said, no, it's more families coming in and sharing. And that's just the change in our population density needs. But those people aren't probably living in grand units. They're living in converted garages. Mm-hmm. So what is the city doing? What's the outlook for the city in increasing density? What I mean by that is allowing more people, more families to live on parcels without having to tear a house down and put a duplex up. What sort of options is the city looking at?
Yeah, we have a couple different approaches, and you hit on a good point. The fire happened, and immediately after the fire, our mayor, who actually has his last meeting next week, mm-hmm. Mayor Corsi, said right off the bat that we're going to walk and chew gum at the same time. So basically what he meant by that is that we are going to recover, we're going to rebuild our homes that we lost, but at the same time we can't lose sight of adding new homes, new stock to Santa Rosa. We're sufficiently underhoused in Santa Rosa. We had a housing crisis before the fire, and we have a housing crisis now. So what we've done over the past year while we're going through the recovery process is put in place a bunch of policies and pushed really hard on looking at densities around the city. So two different efforts. One, second units, ADUs. We've put new policies into place to reduce the cost.
ADU, I just want to educate my listeners, of course, an accessory dwelling unit, like a granny,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Or an in-law as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's that second unit on the property. We've reduced the fees very substantially. And if you do 750 square feet or less, it's actually the impact fees are down to zero. So we're encouraging that. We've reduced setbacks, reduced parking requirements to try to encourage people to think differently about their property and make it more accessible for people to add those to their property.
That's great. So it's cheaper to do that now?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's much cheaper. And we're seeing a dramatic increase over the past years. We've seen about 5 to 6 per year come in and get permitted.
Yeah.
This past year, we aren't even done with the year yet. We've seen close to 80 come in. So
oh, wow.
It's made a big difference in terms of immediately. And we're starting to see second units be put in as part of the rebuild. So mm-hmm. people that are rebuilding their home are adding a second unit because of these policies.
Yeah.
So we're increasing our stock there as well.
And I want to encourage listeners to pay real close attention to not just the zoning rules and what you're allowed to do from the city. The city isn't going to be concerned about what you can get a loan on. Lenders have a problem with different types of property structure, different types of structures on the same property. So if you want to go build on your property and you have a single family residence stick built, which is a majority, I'm sure you could rattle that percentage off your head, 90 some odd percent are going to be in this area stick built. Don't go put a manufactured home on that property and think you can get financing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that you are may get approval for, mm-hmm. but it's something that your lender would discourage because right. you cannot get a traditional financing on it, and selling that property to somebody in the future would be really challenging. So I always encourage people to look at type for type construction. Don't add on something because you think it's cheaper, because in the long run you could have yourself something that's really hard to finance.
So the other piece of this is density. You talked about was yeah. we're focusing on downtown. So we have a downtown effort right
I'd
now.
I'd like to define density. Sure. I think that you and I are talking casually about density, but sure. I want to actually define it as increasing the amount of families and people living on one property.
Correct.
The higher density of bodies and people in one space. That's what we're talking about right now.
That's correct. And so in neighborhoods, we typically think about a second unit. That's about the densities that we're talking yeah. about adding in the neighborhoods. When we talk about downtown, it's a completely different story. What we're focusing on downtown is adding density, which means we want to go up.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually have an Up Downtown Santa Rosa campaign to encourage developers to bring high-density multifamily residential projects to the downtown core. And by that, I mean we want to go 7, 10, even potentially up to 14, 16 stories.
What's downtown. The current ceiling on Up?
Right now it's 10 stories.
So downtown. 10 stories, and you really couldn't just easily go get that approval, right?
Actually, the policies we put in place over this past year streamlined that process dramatically. So you could get it approved essentially within a couple weeks.
It's right now there's really only one structure that I know of, which is the multifamily building that's on E Street, right?
Right.
And I don't know, how tall is that one?
I believe it's about 10 stories.
It's about 10 yeah. stories, and they had some sort of variance to get that right. back then.
Right.
I remember back in 07 and 08, there was a big development mm-hmm. effort going on, the old FedEx yep. building on the yep. corner of 3rd and D Street. There was, of course, the old Traversos, which is now Luther Burbank Savings on yes. B and 3rd. There were others that were going to go up.
Right.
What happened? The Great Recession?
The economy.
The economy.
Yeah, the economy crashed. And so we're seeing a resurgence of that. Mm-hmm. A lot of those properties have changed hands over the past couple
sure.
months. And we the policies we put in place to give the political will that we have 7 votes on the council right now to push downtown housing. We've streamlined our permit process for downtown. We reduced the review authority. We've reduced the fees. And we're looking at using city property to build housing on. So all of a sudden, there's this renewed sense of interest in downtown to bring housing. So we're looking at updating our specific plan downtown. That's the plan that governs what you can do downtown, and it has an environmental impact report that goes along with it.
Okay.
And the reason that's important is that once that document's done, and we're going to update that over the next 6 months, so I encourage people that are listening, if you're interested in the downtown, please engage in that process. It's going to be a process of asking, what do we want our downtown to look like? How high do we want to go? Do we want to go 14, 16 stories downtown? Do we want to look at different ways to think about parking? How can we do car share, look at time of use with our parking garages so they're not empty at night? All these different things we want to put on the table and have conversations about.
So you mentioned that there's an initial meeting in January 8th. Is that right?
Yeah, so January 8th. Yeah, January 8th is going to be our council meeting where we're going to kick off this downtown station area plan update process. And we'll have a community outreach plan that we're going to present that night to ask the council to adopt, and we'll be asking the community to engage from business owners to homeowners to the historic neighborhoods that are next door that go around the downtown. We want everyone to involve because the downtown isn't just the downtown residents area, it's the community's downtown. So we want to engage the entire community.
And where will that be, of course? City Hall.
City Hall will be that meeting
on
January 8th. It starts at 4 p.m.
Okay.
The study session for this, I apologize, let me back up, will be earlier. So we're looking at probably a 2 o'clock start on January
8th. And that is open to the public?
It is definitely open to the public. And it'll be online. It'll be broadcast live.
Okay, that's good to know. How do people find out more information about this?
You can go to our website, srcity.org/downtownupdate. And it'll show every step we're doing along the way. We'll be putting information about how to engage. We're going to do pop-up events in the downtown square and other events just to try to get people thinking about this. And so the goal of this is over the next 6 months, we'll have a plan, and all, now we can facilitate buildings that are higher than 10 stories. So right now, today, you can come in and build a 10-story building tomorrow.
That's great.
But there's interest to potentially push that a little bit higher because of financing. The construction costs are so high that to really make a project pencil, you have to get into the 14-story range.
What's the rate? And I'm cutting you off because we're running out of time. What's the radius right now out of, say, the center of downtown that you can expect to be able to get approval?
Right. So it stair steps down. So in the core, it's 10 stories. Then it goes down to 7 stories as you move further out. But it basically goes to College, down to Highway 12, down Mendocino Corridor. Mm-hmm. And then on the east side, it would be Brookwood to past the Railroad Square area, which is the smart site.
It's good to know.
So that, and that site just changed hands as well. So that's another developable site.
Yeah. And, of course, the railroad coming through, smart train coming through, creates more commerce opportunity.
Absolutely.
More businesses can be built, but also more residences can be built. I'm sure we'll learn more about that at that time. Gosh, I want to have you back again. We could have gone another 30 minutes easily.
Easy.
Well, we are winding down. We've got about 1 minute left. Is there any additional information you want to make sure my listeners know about density and what's going on in Santa Rosa?
I think, again, just stay engaged. There's going to be a lot happening over the next few months with downtown, this citywide, with the rebuild effort, recovery. Please engage. And we have a new council being set next week. Victoria Fleming will be joining the council. And then we'll be moving forward in the next year.
Really appreciate it. More information at srcity.org/downtown update. Really enjoyed having you on with us, David. David Guin is the Assistant City Manager Director for the City of Santa Rosa, overseeing lots of exciting things. Folks, I would get to that meeting if you're interested in what's happening in Santa Rosa on January 8th at 2 p.m. at City Hall. David, thanks so much for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Can we have you back again soon?
Anytime.
Maybe after January, we can talk about what that meeting resulted in.
That'd be great.
That'd be great. All right, folks, I'm George Adair. We'll do it again next Wednesday. Check us at ksro.com. Invite your friends to see it or listen to it. This was a great show. We'll be back next Wednesday. Be good.